Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
One Common Council member says a new ordinance amendment will combat housing discrimination in the city of Buffalo. University District Council member Rashid Wyatt introduced the amendment that expands the definition of source of income for rental applicants. The sources can now include public assistance, pensions, and Section 8 housing vouchers. In a release, Wyatt calls the amendment a, quote, a proactive step to create a more just and equitable society for all residents in Buffalo. Wyatt also passed a resolution that looks to enhance transparency among city corporations. Mayor Byron Brown is highlighting Black Maternal Health Week in the city of Buffalo. Brown will be joined this morning by representatives of the local medical, research, and healthcare community at a morning event to, quote, bring awareness to the current state of racial bias in the field of maternal health. In New York State, Black women who give birth are five times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. And two local organizations are working together to bring more mental health resources into Buffalo's East Side. According to YMCA Buffalo Niagara, Child and Family Services will now offer counseling services out of an office located inside the William Emsley YMCA. The office, which opens today, will offer counseling sessions 30 to 45 minutes in length to all members of the community. Sessions are by appointment only. Additional information can be found at cfsbny.org/counseling or calling 842-2750. A West Seneca man could spend 15 years in prison after pleading guilty to a series of charges related to gunshots being fired inside a West Side clinic. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, 49-year-old Jeremy Griffin pleaded guilty to attempted assault in the first degree and a list of other charges. In November of 2022, Griffin shot a female inside an apartment building on Pennsylvania Street before driving to the clinic on Virginia Street, where he fired a gunshot inside the facility's lobby before security guards intervened. They were able to subdue Griffin before Buffalo police took him into custody. West Seneca school officials are moving forward with a controversial spending plan that includes laying off 19 teachers and 9 other staff members. Despite public protests of students and teachers, school board members Tuesday night voted to approve the budget as the district faces a $2.5 million deficit. Meanwhile, the Hamburg Central School District has paused on a spending plan that would lead to 20 layoffs. The Buffalo News reports district officials opted to delay the budget approval until next week as they seek more information on potential aid coming from the new state budget. And one of the region's most recognizable journalists will be leaving the anchor desk after 40 years on local television. Jackie Walker will remain at WIVB-TV. However, she will no longer be at the anchor desk. Instead, she'll be conducting interviews, special projects, and community projects. Walker came to Buffalo in October 1983 and has since earned numerous awards, including 23 Emmy nominations.
This live stream of WBFO is made possible by Canisius University. At Canisius University, Griffs know there is no progress without action. Moved by compassion and courage, they look at the world and say, "We can do better," and then do it. Canisius University, where leaders are made.
Information from the folks at the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame or Buffalo Broadcasters Association. They're going to name their next Hall of Fame class later today. It's interesting. They actually sent the list of names to us here, and I was about ready to share those with you because there's some exciting names in there, including one person who I went to Buffalo State with back in the 80s. But then I noticed there's a note here. It says we're embargoing this list until 5 o'clock today. So sorry about that. A little bit of a spoiler alert. One day after Governor Kathy Hochul announced that there is a conceptual deal on the state budget, the Assembly Speaker says that announcement was premature. He says many lawmakers have yet to be briefed on all the details, and so nothing yet is done. We hear more now from Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt.
Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says it's true that Hochul and Democratic lawmakers are generally on the same page on key issues, including easing the affordable housing crisis, a study to make future changes to the school aid formula, and increasing penalties for retail theft. But he says it's too soon to say there's an actual budget deal.
The pencils weren't fully down, but I would say conceptually we probably were close on a lot of things.
Hasty has used the analogy of the governor and legislature being in the same state, then the same town, to describe how close they are to agreement. Now he says it's inched a bit closer. But he says he's still hearing back from his Democratic majority members in private meetings, and many have questions about the proposed spending plan.
I think we were in the same zip code. But I always have to brief members before I can ever say a deal is a deal.
Hasty says the biggest questions his members have concern the tentative housing deal. Hochul on Monday night announced that a new tax break will be created for developers who include affordable housing in their projects, known as 485X. It would replace the former tax break 421A that expired 2 years ago.
These new measures represent the most comprehensive new housing policy our state has seen in three generations.
The housing package also includes more rights for tenants, and the speaker confirmed that the measure, known as the Good Cause Evictions Act, would be mandatory in New York City, but localities outside of the city could choose whether to opt in. The housing package has been criticized by both progressive groups and Republicans who are in the minority in the state legislature. Hasty says perhaps it's a good sign that the deal pleases no one.
Probably everyone who had an interest in this was probably going to not walk away happy. And I think we've accomplished that mission. I don't think anybody's happy. And oftentimes when people are polar opposites, it's difficult to make two sides happy at the same time.
The budget was due on April 1st, and lawmakers have had to pass five budget extenders as the weeks have gone on. The current one runs out on Thursday. The speaker could not say whether a sixth extender will be necessary or if the budget will be finished by then. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Okay, wait. Bear with me. Your radio is not broken. What you're hearing is actually a tool of accessibility. Do you hear how the clicking is getting further and further apart? That's because the light outside was slowly going away. That's right. You're actually listening to a recording of the April 8th, 2024 total solar eclipse in Erie County. This sound was created by a device called the light sound, which converts the amount of light it takes in from the sun into data and then into sound. This device is meant to help people with vision disabilities hear the progression of the eclipse. Locations across the country, including here in Western New York, utilize this device, which is provided for free through Harvard's Light Sound Project. The recording you just heard was done by WBFO's Alex Simone, but one public location that utilized three of these devices was Buffalo State. After the eclipse, I caught up with Dr. Jen Connolly, a disabled astronomer who serves as the associate director of the university's planetarium. She walked me through how they made the eclipse accessible to Eclipse Fest attendees.
Sure. So we have several light sounds. Some are just hooked to speakers, so people could experience the change in sound as the light was changing. We also have something that actually takes the measurements of the light changes and records those. And for us, we have it set up so there's a live graph here. And this graph was fun to watch throughout, not just a totality, because every time we got a peek in the clouds, we got an extra boost in our sensor, get a little more from the detector. So that is going to be, all the data that we take here will be sent on. And along the path of totality, there were many of these setups. And so the people at Harvard who were able to develop this technology and then share it with us will combine all the data and we'll learn more and more about what's happening to the light as it's traveling along the eclipse path.
And I know you also had tactile books. How did you get those?
Yeah, thankfully NASA was kind enough to send us some tactile books, both of the eclipse path and also some on the moon. Those are a little harder to get, and I hope in future it will be easier to distribute those. But at least we were able to get that for this particular event.
through my reporting, it seems like getting some of these materials, while they're free, there's not a lot of them.
Yes.
What needs to change to make future eclipses more accessible to people and to have more resources like this?
I think the first thing is awareness. I think there's a lot of, oh, well, there's not a need for this, okay? So the people who are blind or partially sighted, this is just not for them. And that's slowly changing, but I would like to see a big jump in that. This is a start, and I think, you know, it's always, of course, I'm an astronomer. I'm going to say, fund NASA. But a lot of times people think NASA is just big space missions and sending probes elsewhere. But a lot of what NASA does, too, is provide these educational materials to us and have experts who know both sides of it, both the science of it and also the accessibility side of it, too. And so that, I think, really needs to be invested in moving forward.
I also got to chat with Andrea Gustafson and John D. Young, who watched the eclipse while listening to Buffalo State's Light Sound. Gustafson works for the university and was running the accommodations table for the eclipse, and DeYoung was visiting Buffalo with his family. You guys were both staying next to the Light Sound device. Have you ever seen one of these devices before or heard of it before this event?
Before this event, no. I was absolutely ecstatic to hear that something like this existed for our students and our further community that exists here at Buffalo State and beyond, that have visual challenges or who are completely blind, to be able to aurally and hear the solar eclipse as it's going on, to be able to hear a tonal difference changing, and complete totality was absolute quiet. It was great. Not only was it quiet for everybody who could see visually, but it was completely quiet for totality for us using the Light Sound as well. It was amazing.
I had never heard of it, and being effectively abled, I'm ashamed to admit I hadn't even considered it. And as soon as I saw the device, it was an obvious oversight on my part. It was clear that I had missed something obvious. I'm really glad that it exists, and it was really fascinating to hear it change, both with the clouds and with the eclipse itself. It was very, very cool.
Did anything about it surprise you or change your perspective at all?
I don't think so. I think I was just glad to have them, considering we've had such an overcast day today. It allowed us to experience the eclipse on a whole new level that I didn't think was going to be possible. But we got to see the eclipse in a whole new way, because we didn't get to see with our eyes a whole lot of the eclipse because of the clouds, but we still got to partake in the event and experience the eclipse, because we had our Light Sound boxes with us today. We were lucky enough to have three of them, so we got them in three different ways.
For me, the experience was entirely novel, and I really can't speak to the Light Sound itself, because I was mostly just thinking about what this would have been like for, you know, all of our ancestors who've experienced something like this in the past. And it was a really interesting sort of emotional connection to people I've never met, never would meet. But to know that we've all experienced the same thing in very, very different ways was really, really interesting. And, you know, I knew that this was going to be an interesting experience, and I had no idea what to prepare for, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen. It's really fascinating.
Why is providing something like this important, not just for the people who need it as an accessibility need, but also as an education tool and as an inclusion tool?
Literally because of that. It's educational and it's inclusive. So we don't want to necessarily go into an event assuming that we know the type of person that's going to be at a particular event. It's the same as when somebody hands you a microphone and you go, oh, I don't need it, I have a very loud voice. Oh, yes, you do need it. There may be people out in the audience who are deaf or orally challenged and are using a listening aid device, and they need it. And they shouldn't have to raise their hand and go, excuse me, I have a handicap, I have a disability, I have an access issue. Whichever way or for whatever content they're from, whatever context that they like to use, whatever verbiage they use, they shouldn't have to raise their hand and identify themselves every single time. And that's the only way we're ever going to make an inclusive environment, is to continue to educate people so that they just make that universal design occur, so that we don't have to worry about who's out in the audience. We just automatically do it and everybody's involved.
To hear WBFO's full Light Sound recording, learn more about the eclipse, view a transcript, plain language description, and more, visit our website at wbfo.org. I'm Emily Watkins. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.